Well, it is good to be back in the house of the Lord with you tonight. If you will, turn in the scriptures to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and the title of the message will be from verse 4, Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. I do hope, Lord willing, soon to take back up the series that I was going through earlier this year on the I am statements of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. But hopefully in 2022 I will continue that. I have become increasingly convinced, I don't know, in the last year or really longer than that, that one of the best ways that we as Christians can be a witness in the world, one of the best ways that we can evangelize a lost and broken world is simply by exuding joy, by having joy and thanksgiving. It's in vogue, I think, in culture and also to ourselves. Our default is to complain, to murmur, to be bitter. My parents don't understand me. My professor's horrible. My boss is overbearing. Everybody's against me. We live, sadly, in a more and more increasingly bitter and depressed world. An NBC report recently reported that only, I don't know how many people they polled, but only 14% of Americans claim to be happy. Only 14% of Americans. One report stated that Americans are as unhappy as they've ever been, as unhappy as they've been in the last 50 years. Well, in Philippians chapter 4, in the gospel, in the letter of Paul to the Philippians, one of the main themes is joy. The word joy or rejoice is mentioned 16 times in this short 4-chapter letter, which only takes probably between 15 and 25 minutes to read the whole letter. And what's amazing to me, as was amazing when I recently preached from Ephesians 3, is that remember, this is a letter that Paul is writing when he is in jail. He is in prison in Rome. As far as he knows, he's probably going to be executed. And yet, what is one of the themes that he wants to get across to the saints at Philippi is to joy or rejoice. I love Paul's his motivation. He does not have a woe is me complex, but in Philippians chapter 1, he knows that the reason that his imprisonment is for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ, so he can be joyful even in his imprisonment. I'm sure he's not happy, oh, I'm so happy I'm in prison, but he knows that it's for the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians 1:12, he states, But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me, the fact that I've been in prison, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So Paul's saying, if it takes me being imprisoned to make other brothers who may have been timid to speak out for Christ, to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to give them more confidence, more boldness to proclaim the gospel of Christ, then praise God, is what Paul is saying. Now, before I read, I actually want to read the last two verses of chapter 3 and then read the first 9 verses of chapter 4. The context of this passage is the last part of chapter 3. Paul has just reminded the saints of Philippi the end game for those who are outside of Christ, those who are enemies of Christ. It says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. But in verse 20, he says, for our conversation, or that would be translated citizenship, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, or our bodies of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So what Paul is saying is here is, believer, your citizenship is in heaven. Your body, your vile body, your body of humiliation, your defiled body will one day be glorified and be fashioned like unto the body of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. So what is the therefore? The therefore is, the instruction is, for you Philippian saints and for you today, if you are in Christ, is that your command, your job is to rejoice in the Lord. Because no matter what, if your hope is in Jesus Christ, no matter what is going on in this world, the bitterness, no matter what befalls you personally, your end is verse 20 and 21. You're a citizen of heaven. You're going to have a glorified body like unto Jesus Christ's body himself, himself. So, let's read. I'll read again chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation, or our citizenship, is in heaven, from it whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they may be of the same mind, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, or the Lord is here. He is omnipresent. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul, from prison, he's writing to his dearly beloved. I long to see you. I long after you. I yearn after you. He misses them. He has a great, great love and affection for the saints at Philippi from this Roman prison. It reminds me of before Savannah and I were married. She was only 3 hours away, but I was playing basketball, and I remember one time we went 40 days without seeing each other. 40 days. And it was so difficult. I longed to see her. This is how Paul feels. Paul longs to be with these brothers and sisters in Christ. What does he tell them? Stand fast in the Lord. I believe that the key, the whole key to this passage, the key to rejoicing in the Lord, which we'll get to later, is standing fast in the Lord. In an ever-changing world, in a world where truth is whatever you want it to be, where there are no absolutes, the command for the saints of Philippi and the command for the saints here today is to stand fast in the Lord. Persist in the Lord. Stand your ground. Be resolute in your walk with Christ. This is where joy and rejoicing will come from, is from faithfulness and steadfastness to the Lord. Well, sadly, in verses 2 and 3, two ladies in the church, Euodias and Syntyche, who had been greatly used in the work of the Lord. It says, they labored with me. Paul's saying these two ladies labored with me in the gospel. But sadly, some sort of conflict has arisen between them. Something probably personal, some sort of personal dispute between Euodias and Syntyche, and it is clearly affecting the whole body Or I don't think Paul would have mentioned it in this public letter. So whatever this spat is between these two ladies, it's affecting the whole body. So Paul is beseeching the elders of the church to intervene with Euodias and Syntyche. Let's get them on the same page. We need to be in unity here. And as a side note, for us today, if there's one sprain in one part of the body, it affects the whole body. If you have some sort of bitterness towards another member of the church or a member of your family, and you let it fester, and you just think, well, it's not going to affect anybody, it will. It will. Some commentators think that this rift between these sisters had gotten so big that people started taking sides, and a big split was about to happen if something wasn't done. So, there's a rift here. Paul's in jail. The church at Philippi may be about to have a big church split. What are we to do? What are they to do? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice has the idea of to be glad, to be cheerful, or to delight in God's grace. So how do we get our minds, how are we going to resolve this dispute? To delight in the Lord, to delight in Christ, to set our affections on things above, to think on things that are lovely and true and honorable, honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report and have virtue. How do we rejoice in the midst of the situation? We get our minds off ourselves and on Christ. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, always, at all times, not contingent on present circumstances. Now, it'd be foolish to think that we are to be happy about everything. Paul is not happy. I'm so excited that I'm in jail. I'm so excited that my husband just died. Of course, that's ridiculous. But we can be joyful if we are not guided by our feelings, if we are not guided by every circumstance, but rather we are focused on Christ, the character of Christ. We are delighting in the Lord. We are rejoicing in the Lord. And this is an imperative. This is a command. This is not an option for a true Christian, for a true believer in Jesus Christ. This is a fruit of being a believer in Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Delight in who He is, in His character. Think about it. If we were to rejoice or to be guided by our feelings, are guided by our present circumstances. I'm only going to rejoice when things are going my way. I think we see it in the culture today. We live in a bitter world. We live in an angry world today, an angry culture, an unfulfilled culture. And if our delight, our focus, is not in Christ, in things that are lovely and pure and just and are good report, we too will be a bitter, unfulfilled people. Brother Zach wrote a commentary on Philippians. I love this quote from his commentary. He says, "If one rejoices in circumstances, there is no real stability because circumstances change." He talked about this today, the immutability of God. Since the Lord doesn't change, the child of God can rejoice in Him at all times. The Lord remains constant and faithful, whether the circumstances of His children be sickness, health, poverty, wealth, life, or death. The Lord is constant. That's why we can rejoice in Him. His character never changes. He is faithful. The mercy of His mercy endureth forever, the Psalms say. How else could Jonathan Poe have the attitude he had? There's no other explanation other than the faithfulness, the steadfastness of Jehovah. Now, we've said, Paul said, we're not rejoicing in our circumstances. What is the source, the object of our delight? What is the source? It is in Jehovah. It is in the God who is. There's no true joy, no true rejoicing, no true happiness exists outside of the presence of Jesus Christ. All else is sinking sand. All else is vanity. All else is fake. It's cheap. But it's always the right time to delight in Christ, in who He is, in His character. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. He is the one who speaks, and water and wind listens to Him. When He speaks, it gets done. When He commands, it stands fast. The grass will wither, the flower will fade away, but His word stands forever. This is the source of our delight. He's the one who has no beginning, no end, from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. He works all things after the counsel of His will. He is sovereign. He is to be delighted in. He is the one, don't ever tire of this. This is our hope. He is the one that came to earth in the form of a human being. He stooped so low from His place in heaven, enjoying perfect fellowship with the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit, enjoying perfect fellowship, perfect unity. He came to earth in the form of a human, Emmanuel, God with us, fully God, fully man. He had to become man in order to endure the suffering, to endure the wrath of God the Father for the sins of His people. He walked the earth for 33 years and actually died a real death by crucifixion on that bloody Roman cross. I'm telling you, this is the source of our delight. It's not in our circumstances. It is in our Savior who actually atoned for the sins of His people, who reconciles a holy God with guilty sinners. There's no other explanation for true joy. There's no other source of true rejoicing. And praise God. Praise God. He did not stay dead. He talked about it today. If this is all a joke, if this is all phony, then we are of all men most miserable, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. But it's real. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Remember when Pilate, I believe it was Pilate, who told the guards, seal this tomb, make it as sure as you can. You have one job to do, men. Don't let anybody steal His body. Don't blame those men. They had nothing on the power of God. He rose from the dead. This is the source of our delight. So we can rejoice. Think on these things, brothers and sisters. Think on these things that are pure, that are just, that are honest or honorable or true. Remind yourself of truth. This is truth. This is not... Now, when I say... I want to make this clear. When I'm saying we rejoice in the Lord, we remind ourselves of these truths, this does not mean we're going to have some sort of cheap positivity, some sort of cheap high that every day is Friday, because every day is not Friday. Monday's a-coming here in a few hours. Remember, the reality right now, Paul's in jail. For all he knows, he's probably about to be executed, and he would later be martyred. These two sisters, who have been faithful members, who have labored with Paul in the furtherance of the gospel, they're in a fight. Who knows if this split's about to happen? What do you mean rejoice? Brothers and sisters, this world is so full of sin. It's so full of sickness, virus, death, conspiracies, lies, political and cultural turmoil. So joy, rejoicing, delighting, it's not some cheap, if I just do some sort of seance, I will feel this great high and rejoice in the Lord. It's something we have to fight for. It's something we have to purpose in our hearts to think on these things. And so I want to close with just some practical effects of rejoicing in the Lord that I think that Paul gives here in the text. So, this dispute with these two ladies in the church . How do we combat this? Paul says in verse 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." You know what that word moderation means? It means to be reasonable, or to be gentle, to be meek. Don't we need some reasonableness today in the world? Talk to each other without canceling each other or trying to shout each other down. What's an effect of rejoicing in the Lord? A practical effect, boots on the ground effect? Let's be reasonable, mild with each other, gentle with each other, think the best about each other. Remember, I shared this, I believe, when our pastors were in Cincinnati, but one of the last pieces of advice that Sister Patty gave to the church at Grace Chapel and our family is to love one another and overlook one another for good. What does 1 Corinthians 13 tell us? Love beareth all things, believeth all things. I believe that has a sense of believing the best about each other. So Yodia, Syntyche, let's have some reasonableness here. Let's be humble. That's easy to say, especially in the heat of the moment. Because I'm right. One of these sisters, they may have both really been wronged. There may have been a legitimate rift here. I'm sure there was a legitimate rift here. But what does the text say? What does God's Word say? Let your moderation be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is everywhere. The Lord is omnipresent. He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. And also, the Lord is at hand. He's coming back soon. This world's not our home. What if when Jesus came back, He found us fighting with each other, being bitter towards each other, not showing that reasonableness towards one another? The Lord is at hand, brothers and sisters. Well, rejoicing in the Lord, what's a practical effect of rejoicing in the Lord? In verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Be careful for nothing. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Again, it's not saying live a happy-go-lucky life and you don't have any real troubles. No, troubles are real. Depression is real. Anxiety is real. The Greek scholar A.T. Robertson says about this anxiety, it means to be divided into parts. It's like your mind is being pulled in opposite directions and there's no peace inside of you. How can I rejoice in the Lord? How can I delight in the Lord? Well, praise God, believer in Jesus Christ. You have access to the Holy of Holies by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So yes, when we pray, when we go to the Lord, it's not just to be, give me prayers. We are to adore God, hallowed be thy name. But we can let our requests be made known unto God, the Holy, 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 thrice Holy God. We can come to Him boldly and let our supplications known to Him, or our entreaties known to Him. Aren't you thankful that your deepest secrets, your deepest fears, your deepest shame, your deepest sin struggles, that you would not want to tell anybody, you can give it up to God. The Lord is at hand. He is everywhere. He is omnipresent. So He is just in tune with your need, your anxiety, as He is with our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan today and everywhere else. The Lord is at hand. You can delight in the Lord because you can let it all out to Him and He hears you. And then finally, and I've already touched on this, but to rejoice in the Lord, we have to discipline our minds, discipline our hearts to meditate on truth, to set our affections above, like I said earlier, to think on things that are true. How do we do that? There's only one true book in the world. It's God's Word, the living, breathing, inspired Word of God. We have to think on things that are true. We have to think on things that are honest or honorable. Honorable thoughts. Pure thoughts. Just thoughts. Righteous thoughts. Thoughts that are lovely and are of good report. That probably means we need to spend less time on social media and watching the news and TV shows and things of that nature. And think on these things. Meditate on truth. To delight in the Lord. And in verse 7, isn't this beautiful? The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Something that we cannot even with our human minds comprehend. And we've heard this scripture probably many of us all of our lives, and it probably just rolls off our tongue. But oh, what sweet peace. This Irene peace. This peace that has the idea of safety, of rest for the soul, but it also has the idea of wholeness, of completeness. You feel your mind is divided into parts, that your mind is going in opposite directions. I can't rejoice in the Lord. Oh, but the peace of God that passes all understanding, that makes you whole in Christ. You can rejoice in the Lord. So, I'll close with this. One prayer that I try to pray for Grace Chapel every morning is that we will, as a corporate body, but as individuals in that body, as we go to school or work or whatever our calling is, that we will choose joy over bitterness. The way that we will stay unified as a body until Christ comes back, the way that the Philippian saints, we're going to get through this turmoil with these two sisters, is to delight in the Lord, to think on things that are true, to be reasonable, to be gentle, to be mild, not to let bitterness and arrogance and pride fester. And I want you to be encouraged. I want you to remember what Romans 15:13 says. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you're here today and you don't, maybe in your head you say you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in your heart, in your actions, maybe you've not been serious about serving the Lord. And you're looking for joy and you're looking for happiness and you're looking for completeness, wholeness in things outside of Christ. It's vanity. It's fake. Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. By thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So my exhortation to you is to believe on Jesus Christ. Believe on Jesus Christ. God bless you. Rejoice in the Lord.